This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris. I'll be hosting you guys today. And we've got with us some of the usual suspects in here. We've got Bobby, hey, and Becky,
hello.
And Veronique.
Hello, hello,
hello. You guys doing good?
Great.
We are.
Really,
yeah,
good.
We were just talking in the pre-show about the topic for this episode. It's a little bit heavy.
Yeah,
so if is. You're like hearing the heaviness in our voice, it's a little bit heavy. But I want to reference a episode from our podcast from a while back where we talked about the importance of taking a stand, when to take a stand, how to take a stand. So, you know, after you listen to this, if you have not heard that one, after listening to this one, you might want to go back and listen to that one as well. We'll put a link in the show notes for you to go back. And this, to some degree, is a little bit of picking up where that left off. There's a importance for it right now. It's timely. There are some regulations and laws that are coming to be in our country, in the United States right now. In some other countries, there are laws like this that have been in place for a while. So some people have been dealing with this kind of thing for a while. But for us, some things are starting to come to fruition that are causing us to really start to think about what and how and when do we take stands on certain things that may be in direct conflict with what God says in His Word. And how are we going to do that? What's the right way to do that? And like Becky was talking about a few minutes ago in the pre-show before we got on, how important it is to make sure that we're thinking about it ahead of time so that when it is time to take a stand for something, we're not scrambling and wondering exactly what that looks like. We thought about it ahead of time. So I think to get this started, what would be best is, Veronique, if you would mind reading that the little section that kind of gives a high-level overview, and then I'd love to just dive into, like, what does that mean as believers?
Yeah. So I got this from the congress.gov website. This is speaking specifically about the Equality Act. This bill prohibits discrimination based on sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity in areas including public accommodations and facilities, education, federal funding, employment, housing, credit, and the jury system. Specifically, the bill defines and includes sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity among the prohibited categories of discrimination or segregation. The bill expands the definition of public accommodations to include places or establishments that provide exhibitions, recreation, exercise, amusement, gatherings or displays, goods, services or programs, and transportation services. The bill allows the Department of Justice to intervene in equal protection actions in federal court on account of sexual orientation or gender identity. This bill prohibits the individual from being denied access to a shared facility, including a restroom, locker room, dressing room, that is in accordance with the individual's gender identity.
Well, there you have it.
That's it.
Yeah, so I think before we get in, dig into it, you know, I think that a lot of times when the world looks at Christians, they look at us with and say that we discriminate a lot. And there's definitely Christians that have done that. But the way Jesus acted was the least discriminatory person that ever walked on the earth.
Yeah. Right.
So much so that he literally violated laws to accept people. Like, for example, there's lots of examples, but one that comes to mind is the woman at the well. Like, it was literally illegal for him to talk to her, not just because she was a woman. It was also illegal for him to teach her, which he immediately started doing as a rabbi. He started teaching her. Both of those were illegal. To show his acceptance, he's like as far from discriminating as you could be. And so I think that's our model. But then somewhere along the line, there's a difference between discrimination and then control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we start to get, when with laws like this, you start to go, uh-oh, mm-hmm. that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. This could be that.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that now is the time to be talking about this. And you know, we've had, the church has had some of these conversations, if you've been in certain circles, regarding Civil Rights Act and the Credit Act and jury, as you mentioned, jury selection and all of that. And so it's just back to, okay, so what does the Bible say about this? On one hand, there's nothing in the Bible that talks about freely discriminating on purpose against certain races or genders or anything like that. But the Bible is also very clear about how God made man, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so how does that, he's also very clear about abortion. He's also very clear that marriage is defined in scripture between a man and a woman, you know, that type of thing. And so on one hand, how do we not discriminate, but on the other hand, very much hold to the truth of scripture. And that's where this is going. That's where we're headed, not only here in this act, but in the decades to come.
Yeah. I think too, you know, this is, it's one, we're highlighting this one, but really our goal is not to highlight and to pick apart this specific bill.
Yeah.
It is really to do a temperature reading on where we are. There have been other bills that have been passed that have slowly degraded, you know, and have now deemed us as discriminatory because of our beliefs. And this is just another one you could add to that list. So our goal isn't to just go after those. Our goal in conversation is to go really into what does it look like to prepare and for a stand, and what is that stand going to look like that we all need to take. Now, we can take personal stands, mm-hmm. and Bobby and I do that all the time. We have certain non-negotiables, you could call them stands if you want, certain non-negotiables that are just for Bobby and me and for our household. Now, those non-negotiables, those stands, we do not look and say, if you're going to be friends with us, you had better have the same non-negotiable as us. Not at all, because we know that those are individual for Bobby and myself, and that if we're going to serve the Lord, this is what we feel we're going to do and how we're going to stand as an act of love and worship and devotion to him, to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what we're talking about is bigger than that. What we're talking about is, as the body of Christ in the United States, as we are continuing to have these types of acts or bills being passed, we all can feel it. There's going to come a point when we're going to have to say, we cannot do that. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those moments where we can kind of ring the bell and say, sound the alarm and say, prepare. It's time to prepare to make that stand. And it's time to assemble together in unity to make that stand. Not just individuals, but in unity together to make that stand. And so I think that's really where we're going to take it today. So take it away, guys.
You know, I look at America. I absolutely love America. It is my my home, my heart's home. And I think of how it was created, and it was founded on the Word of God. It was founded with spiritual freedom and with the freedom to express your religious beliefs. That's what they were coming away from in England. They were being suppressed. And when I look at the bills that are being kind of put out now, it's taking away the freedom that America is known for. It's taking away the possibility to choose. And if I'm going to choose something, the beauty of it is that my choice doesn't force your choice.
Yes.
My choice gives me the freedom and you the freedom to choose. But with some of these things, me choosing it would automatically mean you're wrong.
Right.
And that's where the problem comes in.
Good. And vice versa.
Yeah.
That if you force me to choose because you like it and you call me not choosing it discriminatory,
right. Then
that's where that's enforcing. That's not just a, hey, we're protecting a certain group of people. Because
yeah.
That's how it's supposed to work, is it's supposed to protect both people on both sides of that decision.
Correct.
That's what the Fair Act, that's what the Civil Rights was supposed to be built on in the first place,
mm-hmm.
was protecting both people. So when it begins to, in the name of, I don't want you to discriminate toward me, but I'm going to do that toward you sort of under the cover,
right. Then
you can tell where this thing's going. And so that's not far from the Bible. That's, remember when Peter and John were preaching, they were healing, the guy at the gate called Beautiful had just been healed, and they gathered them, they flogged them, and they said, we don't know what to do with you, but don't preach in that name anymore. We're going to try to stop you. And that's when Peter and John, with boldness, says, whom shall we obey, you or God?
Yep.
You be the judge.
Yep.
Yeah, see, you... So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And but did you guys pick up on as they were being flogged?
Yeah.
Right. Mm. So it was a determination
mm-hmm.
that they had made mm-hmm. that they were well aware of prior to preaching in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
That they had prepared.
You're saying
for
they,
that moment.
They decided ahead of time.
They decided ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yep. Jesus told them that those types of things would happen to them.
Yes.
Those types of things would happen with family.
Yeah.
There'd be disputes among family. There'd be disputes with government. There'd be disputes. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to be Christians, but I want you to know where your line in the sand is.
Yeah. And what's I oftentimes find funny is, like, I'll hear something like that and I'm like, yeah, Jesus told them. Yeah, Jesus told them.
Right.
But he told us too.
Yeah.
Right.
He's telling us now.
Yep.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
You know. But we always put it back, like, yeah, well, Jesus told them. Like,
yep.
Well, I don't know what season are we in? What are the signs of the times? Like you're saying, I love that visual. It's time to ring the bell.
Yeah.
It is time.
Yes.
It's time. Okay. So what does that look like? What does that look like?
Well, I think one thing that was coming to my mind is this. You know, we have a tendency as humans to look at who's on TV or look at who's on, YouTube or, you know, the speakers, our famous Christian speakers that we love. I have them myself
mm-hmm.
that I will listen to and that I value what they have to say and I appreciate them. However, the tendency is this. The tendency is to, for me, is to think that because they're up there, because they're giving a great message, that they are the generals in the army of the Lord.
Wow.
And that they are the ones that have the strategy and the plans, and that we should all just listen to them, and they're going to lead us. And, you know, I got to meet one of these people that I listened to, and I was like, awesome. So what's the plan? What's the strategy? What's the how-to? What's that next step? And I was shocked by their response. Their response was, I don't know. I just hear this message that I'm to do a clarion call or a, you know, whatever they called it. I'm just supposed to say, we need to do it.
Yeah.
Is what they said.
Yeah.
And I was like, but awesome. I already knew we needed to. How do we do it?
Right.
And they said, I don't get that.
Hmm.
And I could have been, and I was, I'll tell you, I was so disappointed. I was disappointed in them. And I was like, well, what good are you? You know, you're going to tell me something I already know? What good are you? But then the Lord got a hold of my heart. And he said, why are you looking to the person that I have assigned to report on things? And you're not looking to the person who has the strategy. Mm. Not everyone who is reporting is supposed to have the strategy. Now, some may. And so then I'm like, okay, who? You know, and how do we get this strategy and this plan? Do you guys remember back in right before President Trump became the president, he met with Christian leaders. And one of the things that he had said to them was, if you could all assemble, get together, get unified, and be on the same page and go after initiatives together, we would be unstoppable, you know, and that's my paraphrase. So go back, and I'm sure you could find, well, maybe you could maybe find it on Rumble. I don't know if you can find it anywhere else nowadays.
probably
not. But you know what? It was, it's not the first time that we've had someone who has told the body of Christ, assembled together, come unified. If you're unified, if you are one, what could you do? Remember Jesus said that of us? Mm-hmm. He said, if they are one, they are unstoppable. Mm-hmm. What could they not accomplish if they are one? And so first off, I think, the next step is to get our eyes off of the people who have been called to report, but it's also a call to those reporters to be okay with not having the strategy, but go seek after, and you look for all those generals in the body of Christ, and you start reporting what they're saying. So we can have we can hear it, we can get the strategy, and we can become that one unstoppable power, that force of the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying let's pick up arms and, you know, start a war in the natural. But what I mean is if we could have the reporting from the generals on their strategy, and we can start acting and activating that in people, where could we be now?
We could build a tower.
We could build amazing things.
First off, I feel like, wow, listening to you say this, I think first and foremost, I had better be ready in myself.
Yeah.
I had better know what I stand for, what I believe in. I better know my limitations for boldness.
Yeah.
I better be stretching myself in terms of putting myself where I can be more courageous.
Yeah.
And feeling that feeling of fight or flight, maybe a little bit more, so that I can exercise my reactions in that. But it also makes me feel like, shucks, I should know what these bills that are going to be coming out, that have been coming out, how they align with Scripture or disalign.
Yeah.
That comes back to that preparation.
Yes.
It is. I mean, we want to know what our constitutional rights are, but equal or more than that, we're going to want to know what our biblical rights are.
Yeah.
And so that's so important, because the Constitution in this case may change.
Right.
It may be amended. And so even then, I want to know what the higher law of the land says for me. And then, but I also want to know and have through discussion like this, I want to sit down with my family and I just want to go, hey, what do we think about this?
Yeah.
What does a stand look like? If you're in leadership, if you're a business owner, this will probably affect you. If you are a ministry owner or own a facility that people are renting or coming into, this will probably affect you too. So it's important that you have that conversation. What does that look like? Know your biblical rights, know your constitutional rights, and then know how to make a stand in the spirit of the Lord.
Yeah, that's really good. I think in that, there is that preparation. That's what you're talking about. That's what we're all hitting on, which is so vital. Having the preparation to to really be ready. And, you know, like going back to the scripture that you had mentioned, Bobby, you know, they were flogged. So, what is the price you are willing to pay for the stand you're about to take? That has to be thought through too. So, I hear that, you know, a lot of sports, players will do this. They will run through in their mind what that game or that race or whatever it is that they're about to do and perform. They will run it through in their mind ahead of time. And it is a preparation that they go through because they're looking at not only what moves they will make, mm-hmm. but what will happen as they make that move and someone comes at them, what their response, measured response is going to be mm-hmm. to maneuver around that bump that they may get.
Yep.
So I want to back up a little bit and kind of try to pull some of this stuff into context. So like this set of regulations that Veronique was reading about, that is one of many, many, many state, local, federal regulations that are coming out and that have been for the last probably 15, 20 years and that will continue to come out that will encroach on what we have in this country in the United States have become very comfortable with our freedoms. And these will begin to encroach and have been encroaching. Okay, so we got that. And that's why this is so timely. And then we have this other podcast that we talked about before, and it's just so dead on where we talk about how important it is to make a stand. We are not talking specifically about making a stand right now. Because the stand that we might make today might look different than the stand that we make 6 years from now or 10 years later. What we're trying to communicate right now is we are being alerted by things like this, and they will continue to happen, how important it is to take a stand. Mm-hmm. So what Becky's referencing is we've got to make sure we know what that stand is. And there are all kinds of different ones. This is like a very political rights-based, religious freedoms-based kind of stand. There's lots of stands. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we're trying to communicate here is you got to understand and know what those are so that you can make them. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I hear you saying, all of you guys, is in addition to knowing the stand, you have to be ahead of time preparing so that when it comes time to actually do the standing, you've thought through, like the race, you've thought through each corner in the track, you've thought through what's going to happen when I do this. If I do this, what will the repercussions be? What, obviously we don't know everything, but the more we're thinking through what it looks like to prepare and be ready for that stand, the more we'll be able to actually stand and not fall down. So as we kind of look at all of this and say, man, so much is happening. And outside of our country, there are other issues too, where these exact same principles still 100% apply, even if you're not dealing with the same type of legal scenario that we're in. This is still a principle that is alive and well through all of time. That there are certain things that we need to understand about what God says in Scripture that we need to stand up and not be wavered for. And in order to do that, we better be thinking ahead of time about how and why and when and what the details are around that.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Scotsworthy's book. And it is a book that is all about the Scottish Reformation. And in the first writing and what is it called? Like, you know, getting it out there for people.
First edition.
The first edition. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It is so powerful. And it really historically shows the work of the Holy Spirit in that day and age. By the, I don't know how many editions later, they had watered it down. They had changed the text. And instead of it reading and you grasping and seeing the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, he was literally written out of the later editions. And so this isn't something new. Yeah. What we're talking about has happened all throughout history. But how will we make a stand for our time and say not on our watch? Yeah. And the Word of God, the Bible, is at a critical point, where there are those, you hear those stories coming from, legit stories coming from different states where they're talking about removing scriptures out of the Bible because they don't align with the Equality Act.
I mean, that's coming.
That is coming. And so, again, it's not about that act specifically, but it is, again, this encroachment upon the Word of God, the truth of history. And, it's so important for us. If we don't know our true history, we are doomed to repeat it. Yeah. And how many times have we, I love history, and as I'm reading history, and I'm sure you guys are seeing this too, I'm sitting there almost flabbergasted at the fact.
We're doing it again.
We're doing it again. Seriously, it's like, what day and age are we really living in? Is this, seriously, this is just, it's crazy that we can be doing this, but it really is, it's the temperature gauge. Yeah. And
but
it's
no
showing
one,
where we really
like
are.
Like the majority of the people would probably be able to say they recognize similarities between now and then, but they won't actually say, yeah, we're repeating it. They won't have
that's,
the eyes to see
that's good. Yeah.
That they're actually repeating it. Yeah. And therefore, we're going to the same conclusion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It brings up to me the truth that we need to be in prayer for those who are making decisions about these acts. Not that we shouldn't have our own stand and just or put it off. Oh, we'll pray for those guys because I don't have a role in this, but we'll just pray for those guys. That's not what I'm saying. But there are people who are making decisions right now that we want godly influence for those decision makers. And our prayers actually do something. We could rip them apart, but what we need to be praying right now is that people have encounters with the Lord.
Yeah.
Saul, who was killing Christians, became Paul.
Yeah.
So we can see about a turn, and Lord, we need this person on your side. The Bible says that when the righteous rule, right? The people are, the people rejoice.
Yep.
And so it is God's heart. There are people, and I've heard them recently saying, God doesn't care whether the president's Democrat or Republican. That's wrong. How do I know it's wrong? Because the Bible says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice.
Yeah.
And so that means he does care.
Yeah.
And so we need to be praying that the righteous will rule and those who are ruling now will be pricked to their hearts to make righteous decisions.
Yeah.
The ones who are appealing these acts will stand up and appeal them. For instance, here's one that got appealed just at the beginning of the year. For example, showing the importance of appealing to the RFA Act, which is the Religious Freedom and Restoration Act. The federal court ruled on January 19th of 2021, so just a couple months ago, that doctors could not be forced to perform transgender interventions that violate their sincerely held religious beliefs. The courts cited the RFA, Religious Freedom and Restoration Act, in issuing the ruling if the Equality Act becomes law, such appeals would be prohibited.
Wow.
So that's where we need to pray, Lord, when somebody gets forced to do something that violates their freedom, and this is what the founding fathers paid for, then that reminds me, wow, it's going to take the same courage to save our nation as it did to found it.
Yeah.
This is the courage that we need.
Yeah.
Well, I just, it seems so massive, but I feel like it's just time for Christians to get on the same page.
Right.
It's just time for the body of Christ to maybe stop pointing fingers and calling people out for their sin.
Yeah.
And actually just loving the communities we are in.
Yeah.
Because if we love the people who are lost and broken and confused, chances are they could meet the King who can heal them, who could bring them home, who can change their whole everything. And we have to do that for the sake of the next generation. We've got to do this for our kids.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
It's an investment.
Absolutely.
It is. And it's important to make sure that in our love, we are doing it in a healthy way.
Yes.
Because that has been used against us by the enemy, by the devil, and by, you know, people who, you know, don't like our, you know,
perspective.
Our perspective, and in love, love is saying, I'm gonna choose to not control you.
Yeah.
And I'm also love is also saying, and I'm gonna not be controlled by you.
Yep.
I'm gonna love myself to not be controlled by you. But it takes someone who's really healthy to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we're still in a place of judgment and criticism. And we're like wanting to withhold relationship and go into all the conflict strategy, you know, ways because I'm pointing and I'm putting my hand on Chris because Chris has a core identity assessment and workshop that's amazing that if you haven't gone through it, you should.
Kingdomlearning.life, go find it there.
Yeah, it is, it's a way to get healthy and it's a way to understand our core design from the Lord, but it's also a way to realize, you know, you, in there he talks about these different ways, like you know, when we're in anxiety and fear, we will behave a certain way. And it's true.
Hint, it's not good.
It's not good. It's not good.
Anxiety, fear, behaviors.
Yeah. Yes. And if we have an understanding of that, that's how we come together.
Yep.
That's how we can, you know, and even when I'm in anxiety and fear, I can say, Veronique, I'm feeling anxious about this. I'm afraid, dot, dot, dot. And Veronique is, it can sit there and say, you know what? I've got your back.
Yep.
And I'll help walk you through it. But I love you enough to not allow you to isolate. And I
and
love you enough.
Continue this behavior.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So if we can learn to have accountability that way, then we'll be able to make the stand, stay together, be unified, and to really see what God wants to do and to hear his strategic plan. Yeah.
So, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I love what Bobby said, tying into that, because Bobby, you were talking about having the conversation with your family. Just start talking about stuff. And if you actually set up some scenarios for your family to role play conversations, your core beliefs can start to come out. And if there are any that are not accurately aligned with the Word of God, we can fine tune and get those back into alignment.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, if you don't know where to start, you know, speak to your pastor or, but I think that's a great idea of just having conversation. Like oftentimes I think because I've been brought up in a Christian home when it comes to political stuff, you just don't talk about it. Because we're going to fight, and we don't want fighting. We just want to be peaceful and happy.
Right.
You know? So when you say that, I'm like, oh, them's fighting words. But actually, it's not.
It's not.
Because it's giving us a safe environment in which to find out what we really do believe so that when we're put in the real life scenario, the goodness can come out because all the riffraff has already been dealt with.
It's the same conversation that we're having for COVID and all the prophets who prophesied about Trump and now the people who don't like prophets anymore because Biden got in office, et cetera, et cetera. It's that same thing. Listen, if I'm going to use the freedom that I have to force my freedom on someone else, yeah. And we're saying, wow, I don't want it in the Equality Act, but sometimes we do it in relationships. Sometimes we do it at home. Yeah. And for me to be heard, I've got to be bigger than you. And I've got to silence you so that I can be heard. Or I've got to get on Facebook and tell everyone that if you don't agree with my stand, then you're a coward. Mm. You know, those are the things that made me go unfriend, unfriend, unfriend on Facebook this last year. Mm. Absolutely not.
That's right.
You will not take a stand for Jesus and tell other people that if they don't believe in your stand,
right.
They're cowards. Mm. That's not what this thing looks like.
That's right.
And that's where we have made tragic mistakes trying to make stands. Yeah. And so make your stand. Mm. But we're actually telling people, hey, if you want to be ungodly, unrighteous, what the Bible defines as that, if you want to do that, then go be a more unrighteous still, as the Bible says. Mm-hmm. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're saying is we don't want this to be forced upon us. But at the same time, we've got to be willing to be held to that same accountability level. Mm-hmm. That if I'm making a stand and you're not, I am not going to point the finger at you in rage or in my brothers or sisters in the body of Christ and tell them you're cowards for not taking my stand. As I have talked to about the prophets, I've talked to leaders globally about them not liking certain prophets or liking certain prophets. And they said, Bobby, what do you think? And I said, listen, the Bible says, it's not about my opinion.
Yeah.
The Bible says we all get to prophesy according to our faith. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't say they get to prophesy according to your faith.
Mm.
It's not what it says. Mm. It says they get to prophesy according to their faith. Leave them alone.
And the Bible also says that they will be held accountable for every word. So let it be theirs.
Absolutely.
Let it be between them and the Father.
Stop playing
the Lord.
You're
not going to be held accountable for the words that come out
Absolutely.
Of their mouth. That's so good.
So I think that if we start that within our families,
yeah.
if we start that within our relationships, then we'll know how to handle that. When that seems to come over us like a wave, we'll already say, I've already dealt with this.
Yep.
I know what to respond. I know what the Bible says, and I know what Jesus would have me do.
I think you're leading us to kind of the point that I think we should end on, because we're getting near out of time. But so what I've witnessed and experienced myself too, is you're going along and then you have these ideas and then life messes with those, okay? So maybe it's political, I don't know, because it's a very political time right now. And then if you haven't done like what you referenced, Becky, and you did too, Bobby, about the preparation, if you haven't done that, then what happens is the emotion takes over and you're ready to take a stand.
Yeah.
But you haven't really... You have not prepared for that stand, but you're ready. And so what I think happens in that case, maybe this isn't true, but I feel like it's true, is that 100% of the time when you go about it that way, you will not take the stand well.
Mm-hmm.
You will make a bunch of mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it was the exact right line to stand on.
Yeah.
But the way you handle it is almost never, if maybe it's never, appropriate if you haven't done the work ahead of time to define and prepare and be purposeful about what do I do when I get to the line?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to handle myself? Mm-hmm. So so I guess as we kind of start to wrap this thing up, like what do we tell people? For the person that's listening, they're like, yeah, that's exactly where I am. I'm sick of this, and I'm ready to take a stand. So what do we do about that? What do we tell them? How do we ourselves prepare? How do we arrive at the line and step into that season where we're taking a stand in a way that is modeling how Jesus would take a stand?
First up, my first that springs out of my heart is we should not, you ought not to think of yourself more highly than others or than you are. And that's my first thing. If someone comes to me and says, now what's my stand? I just want to say, just remember that that's yours. Own that for you. See how your family feel about it, but do not consider putting that on someone else. If that's your stand, awesome. Believe it. And it's aligning with scripture. That's the first thing. But, you know, I think sometimes we think that because we've come to this realization, we can run with it, and actually what you'll just do is bowl hundreds of people out of the way instead of unifying and finding, quote, the movement in order to make...
It's hard to have unity when you're pushing everyone away.
Right.
Yeah, release the expectation that your pastor is the one who's supposed to take the stand and you're not.
Oh, come on,
get
Jesus.
Wrecked.
High fives.
You know, my dad, I have this quick story. My dad was in reconnaissance in Nigeria for his church for several years. And he was missioned to find these tribes that they had heard of, but weren't sure if they were really there or not in the bush. He found them. And one of the tribes, he got to speak to the chief. And he told the chief, I will be back in 1 year, and here's what I'm going to do. Year later, he goes back. He goes to the chief. He says, do you remember me? And at the time, the Muslim influence was prevalent. They had a mosque. It was, you know, that was their religion. So they come, my dad, now a year later, comes back. He says, do you remember me? And the chief said, yes, you are the first outsider man who has kept his word to us. Tell me about your God.
Wow.
And the priest for the mosque, I think they're called imams, was trying to get the chief to stop listening. And the chief, you know, kind of put his hand like, stop. I will be listening to this. Mm. They accept the Lord. The whole tribe accepts the Lord. The next year, my dad goes back. They've now translated the Bible into their specific dialect. So now they have the word of God. And the mosque is burnt down. The imam is gone. They don't know. He doesn't see him anywhere.
Wow.
Then the Muslim army starts coming into that area in Nigeria and starts eliminating any tribe that is not serving the Lord. And many of
not
these...
Not serving their Lord.
Not serving their Lord. So sorry. That's okay. Not going to serve their Lord.
Yeah.
Allah. And this tribe had a choice that they were going to make. They needed to make a stand. Do you know what their stand was? Wasn't their chief that was killed. It was their tribe that laid down their life together because they refused to stop serving the Lord Jesus.
Wow.
So when you talk about a stand, that's the picture in my mind that comes. Are we prepared? Am I prepared to lay down my life for Veronique? Am I prepared to lay down my life for Chris and their families? And if I'm looking to only my pastor to lay down their life for me,
yep,
and I'm not willing to lay down my life for them,
yeah,
something's really wrong.
Yep.
Now is the time that we stand together.
Wow, come on.
So good.
That's great. I think for me, if you're trying to make a stand because finally you've come to the end of your rope and you haven't been involved in the process, then my thought is this. Before you just make a stand, get involved in the process. What can you do with your family? How can you educate yourself and your kids and the people around you? How can you make a stand by getting involved to serve in your community? Mm-hmm. Your community officials that you're trying to make a stand to will not hear you if you haven't first served them.
Yeah.
The story that Becky told is perfect for that. Mm-hmm. You were credible, and you're the only white man that has kept to your word. I will listen to you and receive your God. And if that means we give our lives as a tribe here in the next several months, then that means eternal life for us with the Lord. Yeah. So, in other words, who are you serving? Mm-hmm. As the book of Philemon says, whose success is on your mind? And so if you're making a stand to people that don't even know your name, then maybe you should start by asking whose vision could you serve first. So what we've done as a church is we've identified the seven spheres of influence within our region and who are the main influencers within those seven spheres. How can we call them, go to them, sit down with them and say, to the biblical degree that we can collaborate, how can we serve your vision? No, right. We don't have an agenda.
Right.
No, we're not going to proselytize your people. Yes, we're going to have a seat at the table for transformation. Mm-hmm. And then so that by the time Corona hits or something else hits, they want to listen to what we have to say because we've already proved servanthood with no agenda. If you try to flex your muscles, they'll be like, I'm sorry, and what's your name? Yep. And most people are doing that right now and frustrated why they don't have any impact in their spheres of society.
That's good. Yeah, scripture says that your gift will make room for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a really good one, even though it's a little bit difficult because there's a lot of emotion.
Yeah,
And I think that emotion is really, really a useful, powerful tool that God gave us, but it shouldn't be in charge, mm-hmm. right? So we have to rule over our emotion, not let our emotion rule over us. And I think, you know, as you were talking, Bobby, about, you know, people just get frustrated and they're wondering why they don't have a seat at the table. That's when I see like emotion is driving the decisions behind the stand being taken. And if it's done right, then that emotion is going to make that stand powerful behind a plan and forethought and purpose, like what you were talking about,
Absolutely.
Becky. But without that, then you just look like a small child throwing a tantrum mm-hmm. in the ice cream aisle at the grocery store. And no one likes that. Yeah. That's very embarrassing for everyone. So we don't want to find ourselves where we're past where we should have taken a stand, but because we weren't ready, we now have gone along with something that we would never have gone along with if we would have had the planning and purpose behind it. So I hope that this has been encouraging to you, this episode. You need to share it out there and, you know, just get it out there. There are people that need to hear this. And like, I think you were referencing, or one of you guys was referencing, like, how powerful would we be if we were in unison instead of constantly bickering and fighting with each other? So I think we need to get to the place where we really come together in unity, and we do it in a way where we're thinking ahead about the stands that we're going to make, but we're doing it through love and investment and the well-being of everyone. If we're doing those things, we're going to have a lot better success at you know, pushing back against agendas that are pushing against what God wants. So I just hope that this episode can be encouraging. You know, share this out there on your social media. Let us know what you think. We love to hear from you. We're excited that you've taken a little bit of time to, you know, to listen to this. If you stayed all the way to the end, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. but just get this out there. Help us to share this with other people and, you know, go and be encouraged, and we will see you on the next episode.
Thank you. Thanks for joining the conversation.